Good morning, and God bless you. Several months ago, the Curriculum Review Committee was wrestling with some of the knotty problems we get into in the field of science. One of the major problems in science arises when scientists step outside of the bounds of science in drawing their conclusions. Who would like to take a stab at what science by definition must deal with? What are the boundaries of science by definition? There we go, observable and repeatable. Observable and repeatable are the two key words related to science. An obvious and perhaps the most controversial example of this discussion is in the issue of the origin of the world. We say that God created the world. That is a statement of faith, not of science. Nobody was there to observe and record the happening, and it cannot be repeated. We derive that statement from the Bible, which I believe is historically and scientifically accurate, but notice I said believe. I have faith in the Word of God. And that is distinct from making a scientific statement about creation. Now, there are scientific observations we can make about the origin of the world, but in the end, regardless of what view you hold, you end up making a statement of faith, not of science, when you state your position on the origins question. Fair enough? However, it is also in the nature of science to push the envelope of the known, to explore, for example, the wonders of deep space or the submicroscopic components of molecules and atoms. So how do we know where science stops and where we begin to make scientific-sounding statements that are actually statements of faith? Well, if you'll humor me on this, I'm going to quote a statement the curriculum committee made to summarize this. Some observable phenomena are poorly understood and cannot be easily explained, as are some unobservable but inwardly perceived matters. The fact that both Christians and non-Christians have sometimes mistakenly assigned the origins and functions of such phenomena underscores the need for deep humility in considering mysteries of life. Here especially, the need for illumination from the Holy Spirit is essential, and explicitly seeking his guidance should be the first and ongoing response. Notice that in science, we don't separate ourselves from the God who made science. We seek his illumination. I'm quoting again. Observable phenomena, anecdotal evidence, personal experience, and use of the scientific method should all be understood as being steps in the process of discovering truth, not the end of the search. God is the beginning and end of truth, and true science always operates on a continuum of God's truth from beginning to end. Well, that's not the end of the discussion. We keep wrestling with these things. Maybe it would be a comfort to us to know that this wrestling has gone on for at least 4,000 years. Man has always sought to understand life around him, whether observable or unobservable. I believe it is part of being created in God's image. But several chapters at the end of one of the books of the Bible give us a strong warning about how this desire, this drive to understand and explain life can go awry. You know where I'm headed? Please turn to the book of Job. Turn to chapter 35. No, I'm sorry, chapter 36. Nope, I'm still wrong. Chapter 38 is where we're headed for this one. I would summarize the eloquent, emphatic arguments of Job and his four counselors, shall we call them, in this way. His counselors or friends said, "We've got God figured out." And Job said, "I have to figure God out." That's oversimplified, but I think that's kind of the heart of what they're saying. The problem, we now know, is not so much that what happened was outside of the realm of man's understanding. It certainly was outside of the realm of science. But if these men had known what had transpired in the heavenlies in chapters 1 and 2, the rest of the book might never have been written. The problem that I see is that all five of them were coming from the assumption that God could be figured out. So I'd like to finish this morning by reading parts of chapter 38 and beyond. It's God's scathing response to the 35 chapters of dialogue that were all based on a faulty assumption. Chapter 38, verse 1. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is it that darkens counsel by words without knowledge?'" I'm reading out of the ESV. "Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you understand, if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all of the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors when it burst out of the womb, out from the womb, when I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, 'Thus far you shall come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed.'" Now jump to verse 16. "Have you entered into the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all this. Where is the way to the dwelling of light, and where is the place of darkness, that you may take it to its territory and that you may discern the path to its home? You know, for you were born then, and the number of your days is great. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow, or have you seen the storehouses of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war?" Jumping out of verse 31. "Can you bind the chains of Pleiades, or loose the cords of Orion? Can you lead forth the Maseroth in their season, or can you guide the bear with its children? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you establish their rule on the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that a flood of waters may cover you? Can you send forth lightnings that they may go and say to you, 'Here we are'? Who has put wisdom in the heart, in the inward parts, or given understanding to the mind? Who can number the clouds by wisdom? Or who can tilt the water skins of the heavens? When the dust runs into a mass and the clouds stick fast together?" Now turn to chapter 40. Verse 1. "And the Lord said to Job, 'Shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? He who argues with God, let him answer it.' Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'Behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once, and I will not answer twice, but I will proceed no further.' Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Will you even put me in the wrong? Will you condemn me that you may be in the right? Have you an arm like God, and can you thunder with a voice like his? Adorn yourself with majesty and dignity. Clothe yourself with glory and splendor. Pour out the overflowings of your anger, and look on everyone who is proud and abase him. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low and tread down the wicked where they stand. Hide them all in the dust together. Bind their faces in the world below. Then will I also acknowledge that to you that your own right hand can save you. And he goes on further. Let us take this reminder to heart, lest we fall into the trap of Job and his friends. God cannot be understood or comprehended. He reveals himself to us in countless ways, but we must remember that behind and beyond what we do understand about God lies an infinite, mysterious being whose whole we will never be able to understand. Let's kneel for prayer. We place our hands over our mouth too, Lord. We are but dust, and we confess that we often overestimate our ability to understand life, to understand you. We humble ourselves before you. We acknowledge and celebrate the mystery that enshrouds you. We choose to let you be God. In faith, in Jesus' name, amen.